Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
In December of this year, Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum will reopen to the public after a major multi-year renovation. To commemorate the reopening, artist and best-selling author Myra Kallman will curate the inaugural exhibit of its Collection Selects series. The exhibit will be based upon Kallman's selection of more than 40 favorite objects from the museum's vast collection of more than 200,000 pieces. To accompany the exhibit, Kallman has also created My Favorite Things, a gorgeous volume with more than 50 original paintings. My Favorite Things follows in the innovative vein of Kallman's bestsellers, The Principles of Uncertainty and the Elements of Style, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Myra Kallman to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be here.
So how did this project with the Smithsonian come about?
As all good things, it's a little bit of a mystery. I was called by the directors of the Cooper Hewitt around 4 or 5 years ago at this point, and they said, would you like to look at our collection and create a show? And I thought, my God, that would be so much fun. So it really just began as simply as that.
And this is based on their collection. How familiar were you with that collection, and did you have ideas right away?
Well, of course, I visit the museum, and I've seen wonderful shows here, but I never realized the depth of the collection. And I said, well, wouldn't it be nice if I saw everything you have, and then I could choose a few pieces that I like? So I'm imagining I didn't see everything they had, but there was about a year of going through their archives, both digitally and in real, in real space. And just looking at things that I adore, just deciding on things because I adored them, because they made me gasp with delight as I write in my book, because I didn't have to know what they were or who made them. It was just a piece that could be as old as, 3 century BC or as contemporary as, last month, just made me happy to be looking at it.
You write in the book, I love crazy things crazily. I enjoy tongs, scissors, I adore cups, rings, soup spoons, not to mention, of course, the hat. So what brings you to particular items, do you think?
I'm always thinking about memory and time, how precious time is, and how we live our everyday lives, and what are the things that make up our everyday lives. They're really the small moments, from having a cup of tea in the morning, or going for a walk, or taking a nap in a specific bed, or reading a book, or wearing a certain pair of shoes. And of course, I am crazy about shoes and hats. But the sense that humanity is always endeavoring to find out how to live, and all the artifacts that inhabit our lives resonate with incredible stories, from ancient times till the present.
You start off the book by talking about, in answering this question of how did you choose the objects, of giving a background, which ultimately is necessary in some sense to understand your selection, to know a little bit more about you, right?
Well, I think that it's nice to have a mix of knowing and not knowing. There are some things that you want to know, and then if you want to know more about objects, you can always look into them and get the information from the museum. But sometimes it's just important to kind of dream away when you're looking at something and not really have that much information. But, it's a mix.
In the book, which is beautiful, there are often pictures of the real object, and then you have created beautiful art. How much of that art will be included in the exhibit?
Well, I guess I can't say unfortunately, but none of the art will be in the exhibit. It's funny because there were 2 books that came out of this project, one for adults, My Favorite Things, which is a catalog and / memoir, and the other is a children's book, and it's called Aha to Zigzag, which also talks about the objects in the museum and how children can approach design and just the objects in their life and collecting. I have many paintings that I've done for it, but none, they'll only be in the books. None will be in the show.
So it is just the objects, and then once we see the objects, then we can do it in any order, of course, but to also get your story behind those objects.
Right, and also the story of what things in my life were important, and stories about my mother and my father, and just the kind of who is this person choosing. So you're getting a little bit more information about me than you would expect to in a catalog of an exhibit.
Did that surprise you? Or did
No, I'm always injecting myself into everything. It's interesting. I when I get an assignment like this, it makes me go in so many different directions. You know, there's going to be music in the room, and there are going to be films of people dancing in the room. So my mind starts, exploring really wonderful avenues, and I think, well, why shouldn't there be music in the room? And of course, as we were talking, you probably know that Lincoln's pocket watch is going to be one of the pieces in the show. So, and that was, and it was restored, and it was made to tick, hadn't ticked in 150 years, and the ticking was given to Nico Muhly, a wonderful composer, and he's composing music, which will be part of the room. So Lincoln and the watch and music and people moving through it, it's all part of it. So I'm always creating more complications than anybody expected.
There is also the pall that covered President Lincoln's coffin as well.
Right. And and looking at the objects, when you look at the collection of an institution like the Smithsonian, which is so vast and so extraordinary, and then you want to choose just a few pieces that will make you could make you weep, and you really will look at some things and go, this is tremendously emotional in many, many ways. And that's the whole lesson of design, is that it's not a sterile exercise in intellectualism. There's tremendous emotion in every decision that's made.
The process of going through everything, was it just list after list and then winnowing it down?
It was digital archive, thousands and thousands and thousands of images, and going through them and amassing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and then, yes, whittling down and editing. And even as we're installing in the museum, we're installing, one of the vitrines is a bed that I brought in, a French camp bed, and we're putting breeches on it and socks, and even eliminating some things, saying, there's too much, you really have to scale it back. So it's always a process, a living process of, what is this room and how do you feel in this room?
Books are a part of the exhibit, Alice in Wonderland, and my personal favorite book of all time, Winnie the Pooh.
Me too. Alice in Wonderland, I consider the greatest literary achievement for children in terms of the brilliance of, just like this philosophy and mathematics. But Winnie the Pooh breaks my heart into 100 pieces, and I think that I read that with my children 500 times,
right,
at least. So Winnie the Pooh is a great book. And I was happy to be able to include, because of course books are holy objects, and we, and learning and in the endeavor of human curiosity and striving and knowledge, it's all really fantastic. So I was so happy that I could have all of those things in the show.
So in your book, you really use these objects as a way to think about the objects that are beloved in your possession.
Right, absolutely. Because we're always collecting things, and they carry, of course, as I say, they carry stories, and then we discard things and we lose things, we lose people, we lose objects, and we're always recalibrating what do we have and what do we need.
And did you think about that a lot, of what we need?
I think about that all the time. This is a big preoccupation, especially as you get older and you've amassed many things that you said you couldn't possibly live without through the years. And now I look at things and I go, do I really need that tassel collection? But can I survive without it? And of course, the things that you collect give you pleasure, but at a certain point, I think we all have too much. I also say museums have too much stuff, but that's another conversation.
But it makes you happy that there's places like the Smithsonian that exist to keep all of this stuff, because if we get rid of it, then who has it?
It's an extraordinary thing. And they have this tremendous responsibility of the archival nature of how they take care of things. And just to watch the process of installing and the care that every single object is given, it really gives you pause and great respect and admiration for the museum.
When all is said and done, what do you hope people get out of not only the book, but of the exhibit and taking in both projects?
Probably I hope that people have a sense of well-being, that they don't have to learn anything or know anything, that they can just feel a sense of either curiosity or calm or observing beauty or not even looking at anything, just staring out the window and perhaps hearing the music that will be in the room. So I hope people just leave feeling good about being alive. Is that too much to ask?
Not at all. I think that's a great thing to ask.
Right.
We should all ask ourselves that.
Right.
The book and the exhibit, it's My Favorite Things by Myra Coleman, and it's a beautiful book from Harper Design that is just out, My Favorite Things, again, published by Harper Design. Myra Coleman, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is My Favorite Things, and also the title of the exhibit at Cooper Hewitt. The book is published by Harper Design. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.